plagued a potential nugget.
Molly, how do you think about the notion of work and life and the interplay between them?
No, I honestly, you know, the context that I mentioned, which is the whole game of work-life. And what I've heard continuously in corporate world is the work-life conversation is a one-way street. The traffic flows from only one way, which is work to life. And the only thing we discuss is what is the impact of work on life. My belief and what I've written in Catalyst is the impact of work on life is lesser than the impact of life on work.
Say more.
Yeah. And fundamentally, let's take an anecdote. There was an anecdote of Albert Einstein, who goes on to say in his biography that he believes that he was a great physicist and a scientist because he played a lot of violin in his life. And he believes that helped him be a great physicist and scientist. It's just an anecdote on what you do in your life. But if you were to bring it down to you and me, to succeed in work, for example, you have to be a good team player. Now imagine somebody who's played a lot of team sports in their life, what we call as life. Yeah. Does it have some bearing on how they will be as a team player at work? Right? Now, this doesn't mean you can't be a good team player if you haven't played team sports. But I'm just linking and saying the stuff you do in your life has bearing on your work. And hence the question is, can you design your life? Now, all this is happening by accident. Einstein happened to be born in a family who was Western classical passion. His mother started teaching him violin at the age of 4. Now, if he had been born in some other family, maybe he would not have learned violin. Maybe you and me wouldn't have played team sports based on our constructs. Yeah. So this happens by accident. What we do in our life happens by accident. Suppose we were to turn it around and were to say that I want to live my life and design my life in a certain way which enhances my probability of success at work. What would I do? Would I actively play more team sports? Yeah, it not only gives me sports and health and benefit, but it also helps me do something else.
There's a learning cycle which impacts work.
Learning
right?
cycle,
to use
yeah.
the language.
Would I actively choose to pursue certain hobbies? And I have a chapter on passionate striving hobbies, as I call it. Passionate and striving being the key qualifiers. And pursuing those hobbies, would it help me at work? Would I actively seek to do some kind of social missions, which improves my understanding of human behavior and people and raises my empathy and my listening, which makes me a better leader?
And in your case, maybe just to make this real for the listeners, Molly, talk to us about maybe some of the choices you made on the life front, which you think has positively impacted the work front.
Yeah. No, I think two or three aspects of my life has definitely contributed to work. The first is the passionate hobbies. And I mean, again, by accident, I ended up running marathons. In my HR days, I was trying to get people in my company to run marathons. And I said, I have to lead from the front. So I said, I'll also enroll and run marathons. And then I started playing golf. And both marathons and golf, these are what I call as striving sports. Yeah. There's tremendous striving. You're not kind of running a marathon for pleasure. You know, you're kind of running a marathon to get better. You're fighting against yourself to get better.
There's also a very measurable outcome.
Measurable. And the primary game you're playing is not to beat somebody else, but to say, how do I get better? And I think some of these, it does that. I think often in our careers, we end up in a model where we're saying we're trying to win, which is different from an orientation of how do I get better. In a marathon, you don't try to win. You try to get better. Yeah. Now, once you build that kind of a orientation, let's say in a striving hobby, where you say, I'm trying to get better, you bring that orientation into your career, where you say, I'm no longer trying to win, which is about beating somebody and being better, but I'm going to trying to get better in what I do. So I saw that shift in me tremendously, where I moved from trying to be somebody who was trying to win to saying, I must do everything better. I think the other thing of my life, which severely impacted me, was some of my social pursuits. And again, happened by accident, but I got into it by depth. And I was involved in a few social projects, which was around certain villages where we were trying to develop some communities. And I think there was a suppressed human side in me in the early part of my career, where I was just trying to be an achiever. And I think the social pursuits really brought out the human side in me. and say, you know, there is a world, there are human beings, and you know, and the need to be human. And I think it tremendously impacted my leadership. I think I would have been a very poor leader if I had not gone on those social missions.
In what ways, if you could expand on what's the nature of osmosis you see, if I may use a chemical engineering term,
yeah,
from the life to work, specifically on this point around influencing your leadership?
Yeah. I think a few areas. First and foremost, I think the concept of empathy. It's widely spoken, poorly practiced. Yeah. And I think the challenge is partly around individuals, challenge also work context. When you're pushing people for results, it's difficult to be empathetic. Yeah. And often empathy is confused with accepting poor results. Right. I think the empathy is in sitting in that chair and say, how can I help you for results? Yeah. But I think the concept of empathy, I got a lot more. And to say, how do you push for results? I'm not going to lower my push for results. But how can I understand you better to help you push for your results? I think the empathy was something which came from there. I think the second thing which came from some of my social pursuits was the fact that we are human beings. And there is tremendous amoebic, organic quality to human beings. And if you tend to overstructure and overcomplicate, which is often driven by your need to be in control, you don't necessarily get to results. Yeah. And you got to feel more comfortable for the osmotic amoebic process to take place, you know. And hence, shifting from controlling and managing to shifting to managing through purpose and through vision. And saying people will find their way of getting there as well. So those are, I think, some impacts the social piece had on me.
I'm a big fan of the work of Stuart Friedman at Wharton, who talks about looking at life across four buckets: self, work, home, and community. He goes on to say that smart leaders find ways of undertaking initiatives that tick multiple boxes and integrate the four rather than deal with them as discrete buckets. One of my earlier guests, Meher Padamji, chairperson of Thermax, spoke about her passion for music and why she preferred singing in a choir rather than playing the piano.
I started with the piano,
right,
when I was 7. And along the way came the choir. And I thoroughly enjoy singing. Not individually, but in a group.
Mm-hmm.
It's a fantastic group. Mm-hmm. And I love being with people whom I gel with and think alike, or we have this similar interests.
Sure.
And this is one of them. And I find that choir is almost like a meditation.
Interesting.
In some ways, it's taking you away from the humdrum of life.
Hmm.
And our conductor is one who has always believed in explaining to us what the words that we're singing mean.
Mm-hmm.
And that has made a big difference in terms of if there's a purpose to what you're singing,
right,
the music sounds enormously better,
of course,
than if you're just singing the words.
I hear you.
You know, and I think the same thing is for business.
Personally speaking, I learn the guitar on the weekends, and the way my guitar teacher coaches me gives me cues around how I could get better at the coaching work I do. I'm a firm believer in the integrated notion of life and how one domain influences the other. Thank you for listening. If you're new to the podcast and want to get a sense of the nature of content that's covered, you might want to go to YouTube and type Play to Potential Highlights from 2017. I've tried to capture the key takeaways from my various conversations last year with leaders across disciplines, from people such as Zia Modi, Nanda Nilekani, Vishi Anand, Vijay Amritraj, Amish Tripathi, Vinita Bali, and the like. For more, please visit playtopotential.com, where the content is organized by nuggets and tagged by themes so that you could get multiple perspectives on a topic that you care about. If you want to listen offline, say during a car ride home or during airplane travel, you could also access the podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, Savan, or any of the other podcast apps out there. If you find the content purposeful, please go to iTunes and rate and review the show. It will help others discover it.